During the month of January, we have been looking at and talking about God's vision for us as Mount Olivet. And one movie just kind of jumped out at me as we were first talking about it, and that was, and I know it's going to sound like, wow, you picked a really depressing movie. We Are Marshall. And you know, We Are Marshall begins with that whole idea of a team that crashes into the mountainside and the destruction, the death that was a part of that. But from that, we begin to hear a chorus of voices that speak both of identity and of promise. And you can always tell that the healing is happening and that growth is taking place as you begin to hear a chorus that comes out. We are Marshall. We are Marshall. And the more you hear those three words, the more you can just feel the growth and the healing that takes place among a people. So we decided that as we were looking at this series, we knew what we had to call it. We are Mount Olivet. We are Mount Olivet. And that became the clarion call that leads us to the scripture today. Because our scripture today comes from the fourth chapter of the letter to the Ephesians. In chapters 1 through 3, Paul's been talking about the very basics of belief that are part of hearts and lives. And then in verse 4, beginning with verse 4 and going through chapter 4 and going through chapter 6, I did that just for you. Just so Michelle could say, you won't believe what. In chapters 4 through 6, we begin to hear how those beliefs are practiced in life. I want us to hear these first six verses of chapter 4. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, and with all lowliness and gentleness, and with long-suffering, bearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you're called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of us all, who is above all and through all and in all. Wow. The Word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, I'm going to see how quickly you catch on to something. We are Mount Olivet. As disciples of Christ, we will passionately follow the lead. I can't believe y'all left me out there all by myself. I can't believe you did that. Okay, are we ready again? You may have to reach over, tap that person over beside you, wake her up, wake him up, let him know. Say, it's our turn. Go ahead, tell him. It's our turn. We are Mount Olivet. As disciples of Christ, we will passionately follow the leading of the Holy Spirit as we unite to promote and nurture spiritual growth among all God's children. Wow, isn't that a powerful statement? That is a powerful statement. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit, the Ruach, the breath of God, was hovering over the face of the waters. And the Lord God formed man of the breast of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostril the breath of life, the ruach, the spirit. And man became a living being. Folks, the spirit is at work in all of our salvation. I mean, just go back to Isaiah 11:2, even as Isaiah is talking and hinting toward Messiah. He says, the spirit, the ruach of the Lord shall rest upon him. The spirit, the ruach of wisdom and understanding. The spirit of counsel and might. The spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. And Jesus confirms this very same spirit as being present in his life, both at his baptism and at his first public announcement of who he himself is. Do you remember when he said, Matthew puts it, and when he was baptized, Jesus came up out of the water, and behold, the heavens were opened up to him, and he saw the Spirit, the ruach of God, descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And even in Jesus' first pronouncement of himself, he said, the Spirit, the ruach of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Folks, the power, the ruach, the Spirit of God is in each and every one of us. It's already there. We don't have to go looking. We don't have to go searching. The Spirit, the ruach, is already within us. Just go back to John 14, verses 15 through 16. 16 through 17. And Jesus, as he's preparing his disciples for his leaving, says, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit, the ruach of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him. Why? For he dwells in you and will be with you. And in John 14, 26, he continues that discussion as he says, but the helper, the Holy Spirit, the ruach whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I've said to you. Folks, do you hear it? Do you recognize it? The Spirit of God is alive and working in you and in me. As one of our staff mentioned as we studied our vision statement, she learned a long time ago that when the word therefore appeared in the paragraph, you need to find out what it's there for. Well, verse 1, I therefore, in that therefore, Ephesians 4 will bring together our beliefs about God with the very practice of our living in the Spirit. In fact, as we go to Ephesians 4, 1 through 3, it tells us, walk worthy of the calling with which you have been called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. You know, when we begin to talk about walking worthy of the calling and walking in the unity of the Holy Spirit, The very first thing that you and I need to hear and to understand, to recognize in our lives, is walk worthy of the calling. You and I are called. Every single one of us is called by God. And the call of a pastor doesn't make Michelle, doesn't make me any more called than any other person in this room. We're all called. God has called each and every one of us to service. That's why I reminded you just a little while ago. I think every single one of us has a divine appointment this week. It's that appointment that God has already prepared, because God knows you. God knows me. God knows the things that we do, knows the choices that I'm going to make. God knows there's going to be somebody that will come across your path this week who can only be touched by the story of God in your life. You're going to meet someone whose life can only be touched because you feel that little nudge of God in your life. Each and every one of us is called. But also notice that walking worthy of the calling really has four parts that are a part of that walking worthy. It's walking with lowliness and gentleness. It's walking with long-suffering. It's bearing one another in love. And then I love that fourth one. It's endeavoring to keep unity in the bond of peace. What, think about that word, endeavor. What does endeavor mean to us? Endeavor means and implies that we're trying. We're striving. We're attempting. We're putting forth that strenuous effort. There's very much an intentionality of purpose, even as you and I have been called for a purpose. There is that intentionality. So endeavor to keep. Do you hear that? It didn't say to create the bond of unity. Did you catch that one? It says endeavor to keep the bond of unity. What does that tell you? What does that tell me? It tells me that it is not something that you and I create. The bond of unity is not something that you and I force to happen. That we somehow, by the very force of our personality, make take place before us. We are maintaining the bond of unity. Isn't that interesting to be able to say it that way? That we are maintaining the bond of unity. Because unity is that product of the cross. It's the product of God's work through Jesus Christ in your life and in my life. Because the very central object of salvation has always been to unite, to bring together, to reconcile, to restore the very unity that God has created. A reconciliation that's necessary because of your sin and my sin. It's necessary because of our determination to have things our own way, to think that John is the center of the universe. Now, I realize I really am. No, I'm sorry. That was terrible. But don't we think that way? As if everything else revolves around me. It revolves around what I think. It revolves around how I feel. And it's that determination to have things our own way that causes that gulf between God and people and between individuals and cultures. but in Jesus. In Jesus, God has provided a way for each of us to come home. God's provided a way for each of us to be reconciled with God, has provided that way for each of us to be reconciled with one another. And therefore, the unity is provided by the Holy Spirit. It's not a unity that we produce. We're not even asked to try to produce it. Why? Because unity is a living, vital part of life. It's not mechanical. It's not a coalition. Unity starts with the work that God has done, and it starts within us, and it works outward throughout our life, even as you and I are a new creation in God. And what does it say about that new creation? It says that the old has passed away and the new has come. I love Paul's analogy of church as human body. Just think of it. That organic unity with so many different parts. Toes, fingers, hands, feet, legs, eyes, ears. But folks, the church is not a collection of parts like an automobile. It's not, well, we get part of this from Canada. I didn't mean to say it that way. It just slipped out. Right after I said that, I thought, John, that was kind of stupid. I mean, it's not as if we're pulling things from, you know, all kinds of countries to try to put a car together. It's an organic unity. I know now I get to laugh at it, and she gets to laugh at me, and I appreciate it. It's an organic unity of creation. When a person believes in Jesus as Lord, as Savior, as Christ, that person is joined into the unity. And folks, I'm not talking about being grafted into a thing, because I don't know about you. I've tried grafting plants before, and I killed both of them. Some of you may have wonderful abilities, but it's not grafting into life, but somehow miraculously, spiritually, becoming an organic part of the body. And the part that I really like about the Spirit and unity is that there is a tremendous diversity within it. I mean, just think about it. We're not all hands. We're not all feet. We're not all elbows or eyes or ears or any other part. It is that diversity which creates and functions just as God needs us to function, because each of us is important. Each of us is needed. And we are working together through God's unity for the purpose of God in our lives. I don't know about you, but I love watching the miracle of God at work in the body of Christ. I mean, it is just so much fun. And my mind goes back to 120 people in Jerusalem gathered in an upper room. And these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication, living in the Spirit through prayer, study, and fellowship. And because of that, God opened their lives as God opens our life to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We are Mount Olivet. Oh, you see, you led me there again. We are Mount Olivet. We got more in us than that. I know it's early in the morning. I realize it's early in the morning. We are Mount Olivet. As disciples of Christ, we will passionately follow the leading of the Holy Spirit as we unite to promote and nurture spiritual growth among all God's children. And the people of God said,